Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my co-host, Handsome Phil Mendoza. Those of you in the Colorado area know him as Big Sexy. Those of you who've competed with him know him as the Iceman. Phil, you ready for this? You ready for this recap show we're doing? New year, new beginning, I guess you will. Next chapter in the Natural Born Hunter podcast career.
Yeah, man. I mean, 2015 was fun. You know, we had a lot of great guests on, and I'll say that having never done this kind of platform before, it's been fun. It's been exciting, man. I appreciate you dragging me into it, and you know, being able to talk with, like I said, interact with some of the people we've been able to interact with has been an awesome experience.
Yeah, if you had to say, gun to your head, favorite guest.
I'll have to
Not
think about that
I
one.
mean, we've had a lot of great guests. A lot of great guests. Is there anybody or any
You
show
know what? I will say that, no, I mean, not to cut you off there. So, I mean, we'll get into what were we just were last week, but I'm going to say that having had Casey and Jordan on a couple times
Yep.
with Mountain Ops, and nothing against anybody else that, you know, in the podcast. We've had some great guests, you know. It's just, but having those guys on and feeling like since day one we had a pretty good connection with those guys and interacted very well with them, and then being able to actually meet them and hang out with the guys, you know, I had a high level of I mean, I had really good feelings about those guys, and I was like, yeah, man, they're cool guys, but you know, until you meet somebody and interact with them in person, you don't really know. And having met them this last week and hung out with them, I'd say that they went up a couple notches in my book, because the way that they handle themselves from a business standpoint and the way that they handle interacting with people in the industry, I mean, they're kind of a perfect storm, if you will, of education, business, and future and goals, like looking forward for growth. Those guys are on it, man. I was really impressed with those guys.
They're an impressive duo.
Yeah, they complement each other well, don't
They
they?
do. Just like us, only we just really complement each other.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, we can pat each other on the back until somebody starts to notice, so
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I would
No.
on that same note, I will say thank you, for hosting us at the Mountain Ops booth at the ATA show. If you really want to see hard work, come see those guys at a show, because they're nonstop. They didn't stop.
No.
You know, a lot of times you say, "Oh, I'm going nonstop." These guys literally, from the time we got there to the time security asked us to leave, because we were the only people left in the building, it was literally nonstop at the Mountain Ops booth. You know, I don't think there's probably five or six of us that nobody ate till 9 o'clock at night. You know, it was just get up, get there, and just go, go, go.
Yeah, and you know, having Aaron there, that was something that a lot of people don't see Aaron in that format. And I think hanging out with Casey and Jordan, I think those guys, they help Aaron. They put him in the right position to help him open up a little bit at his comfort level. 'Cause we've all interacted with Aaron, and he's a cool dude, straight shooter. But to see him in front of that many people, a lot of people weren't. They were like, "Oh man, I wonder, you know, what Aaron's gonna think, hanging out with all these people over here." But and he was shooting the bull and talking to people and podcasting and just meet, reconnecting with some industry people that he hadn't seen for a while. So I caught up with him yesterday, and it
Did
seemed
you?
like he, yeah, I did talk with him a little bit
I did too.
yesterday.
I did too for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he had a lot of fun, a lot more fun than he thought he would.
Yeah, and I think it, like I said, I think it was a perfect storm, because I tell you, I was in the Mountain Ops booth in and out, right? I was out buying stuff and moving around, and when I'd come back by there, man, there was never any shortage of people. You know, good old Bernie across the aisle there was getting hot, because the aisle was clogged. I mean, everybody wanted to be there hanging out with the guys in the Mountain Ops booth and talking with that crowd and socializing. And I mean, it turned into, in some events, just a, like I said, a catch up for many people in the industry that they wanted to hang out and talk, and they knew if some if they wanted to find somebody, they'd most likely go to the Mountain Ops booth.
It was the Mecca of the APA show.
Yeah.
If you wanted to make a pilgrimage, to find some people or to hang out, it was the place to go. And I only left the booth a handful of times. I had to get some stuff from my buddy Jimmy, who runs the shop up here past your Pro Tune I shoot out of. And he couldn't make the show. He decided he'd rather just have me collect things for him. And he's taking a hunting trip to Ohio or somewhere like that, I think, for muzzleloader. And so I made the rounds. And the one thing I kept hearing when people would come up is, man, this booth is busy. You guys are so busy. What are you doing here? And it's like, it didn't really hit me till I went everywhere else that, yeah, Mountain Ops booth was packed. I mean, like you say, took up the hallways, and it was nonstop the entire time, where you go to other booths and, majority, probably 90% didn't have, that even half the people in it that the Mountain Ops booth had. And we're talking huge companies. Huge companies didn't have the people in their booths that the Mountain Ops guys had in their booth.
Yeah, and it was, it seemed to me like a busier show than in the past, just overall. And then being that was, in my opinion, one of the busiest booths of all of them, yeah, it was. It said something there from my experience. I think that was my fifth ATA. But it was nuts, man. It was you got to interview a few people there, with Mountain Ops, and talk with quite a few people. I didn't get to talk to too many people there. I was kind of catching them as they were coming or going as I'd come around. But you actually got to interview some people.
Yeah, I got to interview a lot of cool people. Unfortunately, I didn't think about start doing it till after Eva Shockey had left. But I did get to talk to her a little, and just really, really nice person, really cool. I think we'll have her on sometime in the future. Cam Haynes interviewed, Tim Burnett from Solo Hunter, Jim and Jana from Skullbound, Dan and Jules McQueen. Who else? Man, I feel like there's more people. A lot
Matt
more
Davis
people.
Was there.
Matt Davis came by.
Of course, Dan Staten was
there.
Yeah,
Dan, that
too.
I was blanking on Dan. I didn't notice. You see that little video he shot? I think Mountain Ops put it up. That was a good little video.
Shared it. Yeah.
Dude. Oh, so here's something cool. We both did the workout with Dan. Saturday morning with Dan and Cam and everybody. And man, I tell you what, that Dan can move.
Yeah. Yeah, he is Dan the fitness man.
He is Dan the fitness man.
He didn't get that nickname by accident.
No, that's for sure. And
speaking of that workout, let me show you. Never mind.
What are we going to show us, Phil?
I was going to show you a nice little scar on my ass that I got from that whole ab pad in the CrossFit workout that I'm not accustomed to.
The notorious ab mat bite, or some of you call it the butterfly. The little bit of skin kind of gets irritated, rubbed a little raw there, right above your waistband area, or in the waistband area.
Below? Mine was I have a nice round ass, Will. I mean, if you haven't noticed.
All right.
And my ass sometimes gets in the way. And let's just say that it created an extra little bump when I'm having to do an ab workout. And I think that's where the friction was, because it's right at the top of my butt cheeks that right on both sides there. I got a nice little scar. I'd say that, ain't big.
You're saying the nice round ass didn't protect you from the ab mat?
No, it bit me. It bit me.
By the end of it. I've had that happen before. I was fortunate that it did not happen this time through.
Yeah, I showed my wife, and I was talking about it, and I was like, yeah, Will said they call it the butterfly or some crap. And she goes, you showed your ass to Will? I said, no, but, what difference would it have made? I mean, it's – I'm not going to
That was the last time
from,
we shared a hotel room. Neglect me from seeing it?
She knows. I walk by the mirror, and sometimes my hands just gravitate there because I can't keep my hands off my own ass sometimes. But, that's that's another story, but
it's one I understand.
Truth to the situation, it was an awesome workout. There was probably 30 people in there working out.
20 to 30, definitely.
Yeah.
It was the most camps that had ever shown up for a workout, which doesn't surprise me, obviously, with the hunting fitness movement growing. Let me ask you. You. This is your first time meeting Cam?
I've been around him in group conversation once or twice, but it was brief, and I never really had any direct interaction with him, like one on one.
So first time getting to know him, then.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think of him?
Seeing him in his videos, and you know, I've got his book, just seeing him in the limelight for so long, it seems like I had a pretty good idea who Cam was or what he was about. Getting to the workout, we didn't get to socialize. I mean, it was one of those things, everybody's just getting after it. So after the workout, we a few of us went and grabbed some breakfast, and I would say that, you know, just another one of the guys. You know, he's a hunter. He's a diehard fitness guy, smart guy. I mean, I was impressed. He's there for a reason. He knows what he's doing. Let's just put it that way. I respect what he's doing in the industry because he is a smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyone who buys you Waffle House can't be a bad man.
Right. Right. Yeah.
This is kind of what I got my first time hanging out with Cam, and that is super nice, down-to-earth guy who really loves hunting, you know, for the right reasons. And we talked a little bit, and it's about how, you know, people might think you're a little bit of an overnight success, but they don't realize how long he's been trying to break in, you know.
I would say he's just been grinding for so long, and you can tell by the way that, you know, people have seen pictures of him, you know, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, and they're like, man, Cam, he's put on a lot of muscle mass, and he's a really fit guy. I'm like, well, if you stay on it for a long time, he's earned it, right? What he's got physically and what he's achieved physically, he's earned it just like what he's done in the hunting industry, because he's kept grinding it out since he used to do the stuff with Easton's. And before that, I mean, he was always putting out content. He was always in front. It's just that people started to really gravitate towards him because maybe like you said, because he's a down to earth guy, they felt like they can connect with him. And like I said, he's a smart guy. I mean, that I would say there's very little that Cam does that's not intentional. Maybe the whole UFC video thing, was a little bit unintentional. But there's not a lot that I can see, right? I don't know the guy personally, but there's not a lot that I can perceive that he doesn't know exactly what's going on with it.
Yeah, yeah. It should be a lesson. I think it's a great lesson if people want to break into the industry or do well in any industry, really, that even if when you start out, because, you know, we talked about all his stories would get rejected, you know, if you just keep going, eventually you'll get where you want to be. You know, that for me was the biggest takeaway. And the other thing that's kind of weird is I've never been around anybody who's that well known where every time they turn around, there's someone there who wants to take a picture with you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I've been to the ATA show quite a bit, and I know that anybody that's anybody in the bow hunting / archery community is usually there, right? I mean, it's whether they're a pro staff, you know, high level competitive archer, or a TV personality, or somebody behind the scenes. I would say, I guess, some of the behind the scenes people like Brandlin, who we just had on our last episode. He wasn't there, but I think he's still grinding. Obviously, we had him on the interview, and he said he's still grinding out episodes. You know, that day we were interviewing him. So
yeah, he was at that when we were at the ATA. He was at a big panel, a big press panel for the Carter's War, I believe.
Yeah, so I mean, he's taking care of business, but you know, you want to see somebody or meet somebody. The one thing I'll say, and I've always said it, when I was shot competitive archery, it's one of the few sports, if we want to call it a sport, right? It's one of the few sports that you can be shooting, you know, warming up, practicing right next to professional, best in the world level shooters. You know, on the same token, people that are TV personalities and very established people in the bow hunting or archery community, most of them are down to earth. I haven't met all of them, so I can't speak on on all that behalf. But most of the people that I've met are down to earth people that they're just, you know, they're grinding like everybody else. They've made some right decisions or choices along the way, and they've kept at it because, you know, I don't know. It's one of those deals that I was at the Hoyt booth, for example, and everybody's shooting the hunting bows, and I've got to shoot the hunting bows, and I went over and I wanted to shoot one of the target bows because I just ordered a new target bow, another one, and I'm looking at them and I'm kind of checking them out and looking for the right draw length that I want to shoot. Well, Jesse Broadwater comes around the corner. He says, "Hey, can I help you find what you're looking for? You know, which one you want to shoot?" And we start talking, and there's nobody behind me. You know, there's a line of 10, 15 people behind the couple lines of shoot the Defiance and the Carbon Defiance, and not very many people want the target bows because they're all excited on the hunting bows. So I'm sitting there geeking out on the target bows, and Jesse's talking with me, and we start talking about shooting and different things just as far as form and shot execution just within 3 minutes. You know, it was one of those deals that and he's sitting there, "Man, yeah, try this, you know, when you do this, try that." And it was, he was totally genuine as far as being there to try to give you some good information, and from one of the best in the world, because that guy's, that you want to talk about a guy that's got ice in his veins, just that guy. You know, he's a hell of a shooter. So to see people like that and be able to interact with them, it's awesome, because there's really a lot of good people in the archery and bow hunting industry.
So were you like, "Hey, Jesse, I have this podcast. You should come on sometime."
I did tell him I was going to tag him on my picture. And, you know, I told him, I was like, "Hey, man, you know, do you mind if I share this?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, yeah, no, go ahead, man. I'll, you know, it's great. I love it." And I did. So we were talking. We went kind of back to Bose, and I did drop the ball on that one, Will. I did drop the ball. But I am friends with him on Facebook, and he – I don't know how involved he is in social media, but, man, I'd reach out to him in a heartbeat because he's a really smart guy.
Cool. Was there any products or bows that stood out to you? Because I know you got to look at a lot of them for the shop that while you're at the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I obviously very impressed with the Hoyt stuff. The Carbons are, in my opinion, probably my favorite bow this year. That just the improvements they made from the last few years. Not that there was anything wrong with the last few years, but it's night and day different experience shooting one of the 2016 bows. So I already knew what to expect there. you know, there's PSE's got some nice bows. I was happy with them. We brought those into the shop a little bit stronger this year. I spent a little bit of time over around the Expedition and Obsession booths.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed with the Obsession I shot earlier in the year. You know, we had Dennis on, obviously. And then the Expedition rep come by the shop here a month ago or so, and I shot those, and I was impressed as well. And from a standpoint, it's always kind of a proximity deal with the shops, whether you're too close to another shop or whether they'll pick you up. And I know that on the Expedition side, there's nobody in the metro area really selling those. So from the business side of stuff, it attracted me. Well, being able to shoot them side by side, I mean, let's just face it. When you've got a 7-inch brace height bow, an Expedition and Obsession have this. A 7-inch brace height bow that's doing in a 340 feet per second rate,
uh-huh.
You know, it's most companies are in the 330s.
Yeah, it's fast for a 7-inch brace height.
Right. So when I shot the Expedition, I shot it at 60 pounds in the shop. They didn't have a 70. So I went right to the booth and said, "I need to shoot a 70-pounder, you know, either one of the two models." And I shot them. And they're still smooth. They have a little bit of dump over at the back end, but they're a very nice bow. Anybody considering Expedition, I you know, encourage you to try it. It's a nice bow. And went next door to the Obsession booth, and I shot their version of the, it was an actually the, I think the DEF CON 6.
Yeah.
350.
Yeah, 350, that baby, with a
six inch brace height.
6 inch brace height.
And I shot that one, having just shot the 7 inch from Expedition, and it was smoother. It just was, you know, right. didn't have as much of a dump over on the end. On the shot was quiet, you know, dead in hand. So I was very impressed with both of those, but I would say that 6 inch brace height bow is probably the one that I was most impressed with from the other companies that we really haven't dealt with.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. The two bows I was most impressed with at the show are the Hoyt Carbon and the Obsession 6, which, you know, I basically went over because, you know, Jimmy, he carries Obsession. And it was like, well, let's see what we're going to bring in this year because I love the Evolution. And I shot that bow, and I was just like, oh, no, I shouldn't have shot this because now I'm going to have to get it.
They're nice. like I said, it's I mean, with me, I have to look at a few different factors from the business side of stuff with selling the bows in the shop. But from a shooting experience, man, they're nice bows. You know, they really were.
Yeah, there's the obvious downside that as a shop owner to bring in Obsession, you would have to deal with way more customization, which is way more time per boat, you know, spent on per bow sale.
Well,
and
potentially
then getting them.
Yeah, and for me, it's just an issue of, you know, if I order and stock 5 bows on the shelf, you know, and I decide to get the, you know, whatever cryptic camo with a red cam or, you know, in a certain 6 inch brace height to 7 inch brace height, and somebody comes in and say, no, I want the 7 with the black cam in this other pattern. So then if I don't have that pattern, well, I'm always having to order a new bow, and the bows I have on the wall, they may not move as quickly. So anytime that someone's got a store, they know that stuff that doesn't move, stuff that hangs on the shelves is not great for business. So not that they would, I don't know, but it's just because like you said, they have so many configurations.
And that's the thing. You don't want a bow not to sell because you have the wrong color.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we should call Dennis, be like, Dennis, I want to do a Natural Born Hunter edition. That black cryptic typhoon, all red, everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would look, but let's be honest though, their finish coatings were on point.
Yeah. They're definitely one of the companies that are trying to, you know, break in and do things the right way. I mean, it sounds like they've had some hiccups in the past with just delays, but when you have so many finish options, it's just going to happen, you know. So it seems like they're getting stuff ironed out. We'll see. I haven't made up my mind yet as to which, if I'm going to pick up either of those two lines or pursue it more, but it's on my list of things to consider here in the next month. So we'll see. I was impressed though with both of them. There was a lot of nice stuff. There wasn't anything, you know, honestly, I posted a little video on my YouTube, the Championship Bow Hunting side, just about kind of a little joke about the big block target. that if you're not shooting a Hamsky hybrid hunter or target pro, you need a big target, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you are, you can use a small target. And I'll tell you that from a standpoint of having a company, and I know those guys, Andrew and Sean, you know, obviously they're local here to me in Colorado, but you want to talk about guys that came out with a great product when they first came out, you know, for what the hunting industry kind of perceives as what they need. It seemed to be big, it seemed to be bulky, it seemed to be heavy. I've hunted with it since they've came out with it, and I'll tell you what, it's been nothing but the best rest I've shot. And seeing that they listen to their customers, they listen to their dealers, you know, that you bring the price point down a little bit, fix this, adjust that, don't sacrifice quality. I think those guys are on point with what any company in the archery manufacturing industry needs to be, because, like I said, they listened, they delivered, and I think they hit a home run with that rest. I mean, it's going to be on my bows for sure. And being that most of the shooters in my shop that helped me out, that worked for me or helped me, most of them are shooting Hamskis anyway, I think it's probably going to be a slam dunk here in this area anyway, as far as what we're going to be able to see on our customers' bows, because it's nice.
Did you place really your is. Order?
I did.
How many you order?
The first order, somewhere between 18 and 20 rests.
Oof.
So.
So you're going to, you know, I think you're going to see them out a lot. I'm going to buy one. Yeah. I was talking to Cody. We're going to do something fun for the name on it. You know how you can personalize them?
Yeah.
Personalize it. I'm not sure what yet. Maybe I'll just do my initials. Maybe I'll take the easy way out.
You need to do Captain Redbeard, man.
Captain Redbeard?
Captain Redbeard.
What was it Aaron called? Oh, UConn Cornelius.
UConn Cornelius. He texted me that first day when you guys we separated and you guys were going to, I think we were meeting up for dinner, and he'd send me a text, "Hey, UConn's with us."
Maybe I'll just put UConn on there. You know, so I talked to Aaron last night, right? And it was weird. It was weird because I felt like I could hear genuine happiness in Aaron's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he had called because I'm going to be interviewing him for an article I'm writing, and it didn't line up before. And he had, what surprised me is, one, he had remembered that the interview, you know, got missed, and that he actually wanted to reschedule so I didn't have to chase Aaron down, which normally, you know how it goes. Aaron's a pretty busy guy. You got to chase him a little bit to get him in on something. And I could tell that being in the Mountain Ops booth, I think he really was able to hit his stride and had a lot of fun. More fun than any show he'd gone to before.
Well, and that's where I would agree. I think that, you know, with Aaron, he's like anybody, you know, he's working in a position where it's something that he's very passionate about, something he's very knowledgeable about, you know, and that's the pack and the shelters and that kind of industry. So it's always grinded out, and when you work in your passion, people think that, oh, it's all roses and flowers. Well, sometimes it's not. And I'm not speaking on Aaron's behalf, but all I'm saying is it seems like Aaron's a very intelligent guy, and he's always been putting himself out there to try to help other people. If you look back from even some of his videos from the Outdoor Life stuff and some of the stuff with Brian that he's doing, and even some stuff that I've got in the works with him that we'll actually kind of announce here towards the end of the month. But it's something that Aaron's trying to help people be better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aaron's not shy of saying, "Don't use that. I've done it, and it's not good because of this," right?
Right.
He'll give
right.
you an exact reason why something has failed him in the past and why you may not want to consider that. Perfect example. You know, we're talking boots this time last year, you know, and he says, yeah, he says, you know, everybody's foot's different, obviously. You know, these are some good ones. Those are some good ones. And I had just picked up some Kennetrex the season before, you know, and I just started breaking them in. We were doing the Mountain Warrior. We were hiking a lot. And he's like, man, he says, once that leather stretches, he says, be careful. Your foot's going to slide a little bit in there. And I hadn't experienced any of that until – and I actually – when we went scouting on the sheep hunt the first time, and we hunted the first time, hunting up in those conditions with that pack on your back, you know, for 5-6 days, at that sixth day, that leather had kind of – stretched out a little bit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
My foot started sliding. I started getting hot spots.
Oh.
And it wasn't, yeah, so it was like, it wasn't good. Well, come off the mountain, and I had another pair of Loas that were a similar design with the leather top, and they felt a little bit, they weren't as stiff of a boot. And I was like, well, I'll wear these the time that I tagged out on my hunt. And we hunted, I think we were only in there 3 days, because we hiked in the first day, I killed the second day, and we hiked down the third day. But I tell you what, those being a leather upper, same kind of deal. And Aaron's an all-synthetic boot guy. You know, he's got some leather, but you're going to see him on the mountain. He's usually wearing the synthetics. like the Scarpas and some of the other ones. And I had bought a pair of Scarpas, and I think I just had them just a smidge too small, because I was getting actually on a hike, got some a bloody toe just from hiking downhill with a lot of weight. But long story short, he had told me this time last year, he said, consider a synthetic, because if you're on the mountain with a lot of steep angles like we were in sheep country. And so he was kind of predicting the future before I even knew I had the tag, right? Mm. But it was one of those deals. Does he know everything? No, but the dude knows a lot of stuff. I mean, spending that many days in the mountains or scouting or hiking, sometimes it's just going up hiking and going fishing, you know. But with all those experiences, the guy's got a lot of knowledge, and he's willing to help people learn. And that's one of the biggest things I can say to his credit is he's not sitting there like, I'm not telling you nothing. I've got this figured out the hard way. I'm going to keep it tight to the vest because I'm going to make sure that, you know, I stay as successful as I can. No, he's trying to make other people successful.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't realize anybody, I guess, outside our direct social circle, like, you know, I don't know how many people follow Aaron or keep up with Aaron or who knows about Aaron, but I had a buddy who's from back here. He works for Elite, and he came over to the Mountain Ops booth, and we're talking. I was like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, I'd like to talk to Aaron. And I was like, for what? Do you want me to introduce you? He's like, yeah, could you? And I'm like, sure. You sure you want to meet Aaron, though? And so I introduced him, and he wanted him to stop over to the Elite booth and shoot the recurve, because he had heard Aaron was shooting a recurve, and I could tell talking to him he was a little bit intimidated by Aaron. And I was like, don't worry about this neo-Nazi looking sucker over here. He's a nice guy. He's just a little rough around the edges is all.
Yeah, he does. I mean, you look at it, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody else's podcast, but when Aaron's on a podcast, the views go up, you know.
That's true.
And it's, again, I mean, we've had him on, and he's been great. He's a good friend of mine. I've known Aaron for, I'd say, going on 10 years. You know, it's 9 or 10 years that I've known Aaron, and not real well at first. We were acquaintances at archery shoots and that kind of stuff, and but I'll tell you what, very little has changed in my perception of Aaron since a long time ago as far as the dude's a straight shooter. If he trusts you enough to, you know, have you in his inner circle, if you will, or consider you as one of the friends in his inner circle, I mean, the guy is like, he's one of the most giving guys in knowledge. If he's got something that he's – I've got two of these, man, here. I mean, use it. Yeah, you can have it. You know, it's like, I didn't pay for this. I don't need. He's like, no, just use it, you know. So he's one of those guys that I can't say enough good things about without people thinking I'm a leg humper, right?
You're going, it's not gay, like, for that, Aaron.
Right? No, it's not like that. But I know that as far as people being genuine in this industry, sometimes people will give you the perception up front when you're talking to them face to face that they're the nicest people in the world, or I'm the biggest badass in the world, and then you walk behind, you know, and then that you walk away from them, and it's like when they're not in front of you, it's a different person, or it's a different opinion you have of them.
Right.
It's not like that with him. Like I said, I'm excited to be working with him on another project that we're going to be bringing forth some more content, and you'll just have to kind of listen in. You know, it's we're working on it right now. We've mapped out a few things actually the week before the ATA, and we talked about it a little bit more at ATA and again yesterday. But it's something that I'm stoked to be working on this kind of project, because it's an informational piece, and it's something that he enjoys doing. It's something that I enjoy doing. We're just going to present it in a different format now, to where I'm excited to see what happens.
The Joys of Gay Sex by Aaron and
Hey,
Phil.
You know, again, you know, it's one of those deals that I've heard the term many times about being gay and that kind of stuff, and it's not like that.
No, you know? And there's nothing wrong with being gay if you're gay. I hope we have lots of gay listeners. But here's why I like
not
Aaron.
Not my deal, but yeah, you're right.
The more the more I hang out with Aaron, the more I like Aaron. And when I say hang out, it's not just at like the booth, but like in downtime, the more I hang out, the more I like him because Aaron's a ball buster, and I love busting balls. I love it. I love busting balls, and Aaron can give it just as good as he can take it. So for me, it's a lot of fun because not everybody, you know, does it, and not everyone's willing to go maybe as dark as you know, I will or say Aaron, you know, and he's very astute at things, so it's fun. You know, and that's basically it. I like busting balls, and he's good at it. That's about it. I don't care how much he busts. I don't ever care. So I just like, hey, you're giving it. As long as you take it, don't care. But it was fun. It was a fun trip hanging out with Aaron. And you know what? They're a sponsor of this show. They make great products, whether it's the Magnum protein, you know, triple blended protein, absorbent rate, better than any single source protein you're going to find. The Yeti pre-workout or the Blaze. This is new for me. I had never done the Blaze energy shot before this show, but I think I had about two a day. That was about all I was consuming was energy shot, maybe a little Yeti. And oh, you know what? That's a lie. The second day I got a protein puck from Dan. He had an extra protein puck, which if you haven't had, you should try it. They're really good for when you're basically running on nothing and need just something to keep you going. Those were delicious. But, you know, Mountain Off's making great products and killing it. And not only that, those guys just were like machines. Yeah. Just, and they were nice. I mean, just genuinely nice guys who were welcoming everyone in. Anyone in could come hang out at the booth.
And how about the simplicity and the genius of what they are in marketing and just having that I Love Mountain Op poster for people to take pictures with?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how many pictures they probably have with that little sign that says I Love Mountain Ops? They've got content for social media for, you know, they can put up 1,000 pictures probably tomorrow with that people taking pictures with that little sign.
Oh, yeah, at least one new picture for every day this year.
Oh, it was nuts. So I saw it, you know, and he kept pulling it out. They kept pulling it out, and it was like, man, that's just – it's like I said, it's just the simplicity, but it just branding.
Not just that, you know? But think of this. Think of the cutting edge of this. So they had Brian Call there doing the Gritty Bowman podcast, fellow podcasting friend of ours, and they had that, and then the second day I would run interviews, you know, over to the other side with, you know, short interviews with people coming over. They were the only booth to have their own media full time. You know, other booths you'd have people coming by and doing, you know, some independent guy would come and do an interview. You know what I mean? Nobody had dedicated media outlets for themselves.
You know? Yeah.
And I think you might start seeing that change. You might start seeing that change a little bit going forward because social media, internet, obviously huge, especially for this younger generation coming up. And there they are, you know, first ATA just nailing it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like I said, it was an awesome event. And, you know, to kind of tie things up and wrap things up here, It was a great few days that we had that we were there for a couple. I was there 2.5 days. We were there for a couple days. But getting to sit back in a little bit of a social kind of setting at times and just talk with people and share some stories and listen to some stories. It's always a great time. But here we are at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Got a lot of time in front of us. A lot of work to do. Yeah, Will, I'll say that Will, I'm going to be very honest. I was very impressed for Will lining up some awesome guests we have coming up. And you guys will have to just check it out and listen in because obviously we didn't interview a lot of them there. We want to do it in our setting where it's kind of more lax and, you know, not the busy atmosphere of a show like that. We want to be able to get them, you know, in the right setting. So we've got a lot of people that are going to be coming on, and a lot of them honestly are in that in the TV personalities in the hunting industry. And I want to kind of just say quickly, I've made some comments in the past on this show that I don't regret. You know, I don't say I some of them as far as saying not really impressed with a lot of the hunting shows out there. Well, I want to say that my lifestyle doesn't permit me to watch a lot of TV, right? It doesn't. So the people that I know that have shows, I'll DVR their stuff and I'll watch it. Some of the other stuff that I'll catch in passing, I'll catch the back end of a clip of one or the front of another one that's before or after that show and I'm watching something. The Jim Shockey stuff, I've been a Jim Shockey fan since I can't tell you when, you know. So being able to see Branlin's work, and again, if you haven't caught the last episode, make sure you go back and check out the episode of Branlin. He's an awesome guy. But I'll say that moving forward, getting to meet some more of these the TV personalities within the hunting TV industry, I next to being able to meet, you know, Casey and Jordan and hang out with Dan Staten and some of the other guys, meeting a lot of these new people and interacting with them and just you start talking with them, you tell them, hey, we got this podcast, we'd love to have you guys on, and a lot of them were really excited. Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. We'd love to do that, you know. You know, what do you, you know, how does it, and you start talking to them a little bit and it's like, wow, these, you know, this can really go well with some of these interviews because people are excited and they want to be, they're, you know, that they're pursuing, they're actively, you know, looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to being able to interview a lot more of those guests that we've talked with. I'm going to try to do a little better with, broadening my spectrum on my DVR for what I record some stuff, just from a learning perspective, because like I said, I don't watch a lot of TV and I haven't caught a lot of the shows. So there's some good stuff out there, especially the people that I know and I respect their opinion. They're like, man, you should check this stuff out. That's real. They do really good work. Or, you know, these guys are doing some really innovative stuff. So I'm going to start doing my homework a little bit more when I'm working out and DVRing some stuff and, but I'm looking forward to some of those guests that Will's round up because Will knows a lot more of some of these people than I do, and he got to meet some of them and talk with them, but I'm excited nonetheless. He says, hey, man, we lined this person out and that person out, and I'm excited. 2016 is going to be an awesome year. There's a lot of new development going forward in the fitness bow hunting type movement or the bow hunter athlete movement. Looking forward to it, man. I really am.
Yeah, I regret nothing I've said on this show. And I think I said everything I meant. I meant everything I said. And I'm just going to say this. If you're on this show, there's a reason. And if people listening, if you're wondering why, it's because it's for me, it's filtered excellence. I have filtered out what I think would be a shitty guest. And if people are invited on this show, it's because I think they will be an excellent guest in this show. And we are interested in them, or at least one of us is interested in them enough to have them on. And that's basically it. You know, I'm not people. If they want, they could look at it like one day, I think it'll be regarded as a badge of like, oh shit, you made it on that show. They don't have just anybody on that show, you know, for no reason. You must've done something. And that's how I look at it. And let me ask you this. Babe Ruth, this thing, right? Point to the outfield, over the fences, over the green monster. One guest you want to have on the show in the next year that you know we don't have yet.
You know, we had talked about it before, and so we had talked about our list, and you know, Branlin was on both of our lists, and I heard some other people on your list, and I think that's an ever kind of evolving.
Well, yeah.
List
as you get new people checked off, you got to add new people.
Right, and but I still say, you know, me being an archery guy and a bow hunting guy, I still am very intrigued by Colin Noir with his content and what he's delivering, especially in the time that we are with looking at potential new presidential candidates and that kind of stuff. I'm not a big political guy. But I'm not ignoring it either, right?
Right,
so to see where he's at and see some people now trying to you know, attack him and saying, oh, you know, the NRA is just hiring some guy that's trying to reach out to the young kids and the, you know, the minorities. And
which is,
and
essentially, like, is kind of one of the most racist things to be. And these are people who claiming they're not racist.
And that's why I saw some comments on that stuff. I'm like, you know what? Call it what it is. This guy's when he talks, he at least appears to be very knowledgeable, very educated on what's going on, very well read, and he has a firm opinion, and he's not faltering from it one bit, right?
Very intelligent and well spoken.
Right.
Very intelligent.
And that's where I'm like, you know what? I want to hear this guy talk a little bit more, and I want to talk to him, you know, more so about the people that are starting to attack him and, you know, how he feels about that. And I'm sure that he might be like, yeah, it is what it is. You have the haters. But just to hear his point of view from what's going on and what could potentially be developing as we move forward, man, he's one guy that I would say is towards the top of the list. I'd have to think about that to say, you know, who do you want to have on? But he's one guy that I'm very intrigued with. What about you?
Me? Well, here I'll talk. I want to just touch on what you said a little bit, and then I'll go to me. But it's like when we were talking to Brandlin about how eloquent and well-spoken his dad is, right?
Sure.
And I noticed – I watched Eva's interview and, you know, talking to Brandlin. I watched Eva's interview on Fox and talked to Brandlin, and Eva sounded better than any of the hosts of the show she was on, you know. Well, we have an hour plus of Brandlin talking really well. You know, people who can eloquently and intelligently say what's on their mind and convey their emotions and feelings, and they're educated on these topics, especially a guy like Colin, I'm always very interested in it, especially interested in having a conversation with, you know, because that's what we're doing here,
right?
Is having a conversation. So, you know, we're definitely going to try to get any guests like that we can. Somebody's just really well-educated, get it out there. But my number one, still my number one, you know, my goal in this year to complete in this podcast is to get Yvonne Chouinard on. That's my number one goal. And to get Brandlin back is my number two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to have – there's just – if I could get him to do a little acoustic number, I think that would be a good show.
Yeah. No, man, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, any of the Shockies would – you know, Eva, Jim, like I said, I've been a fan of Jim since forever. And tying that back into how awesome of a show they have, whether it's Uncharted or some of the other stuff, I think when you know, in today's kind of evolution of hunting TV, you know, you've got the front end, the face, which is your Jim Shockey. You've got the working crew, the TV crew, the people that are having to catch the right shots and be knowledgeable about that stuff. And then you've got the back end where they're putting it all together and editing it and having the vision of how to lay out a story. And to me, it seems like Jim and Brandlin, they have kind of the perfect storm, if you will, right? They really have all elements hitting on all cylinders. You know, there's other shows that are really good on the front end, or maybe the middle and the back end are really good, and they're pretty decent on the front end, but there's some stuff out there that is good. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to do my homework, because I'm not that my opinion is the end all say all. I just want to know, because people are telling me, hey man, these guys have equally as good as work of that, or these guys are just good from a different perspective on this. And so there's some stuff out there that I'm going to do my homework and start checking it out. But yeah, any of the Shockies, Jim is another guy that'd be at the top of the list, just because when I heard him on Rogan's podcast, you know, in front of the screen for a hunting show or on the podcast, it's like the dude's very smart. He's been in the game for a long time. He brought his kids through, and they're also would appear to be excellent people to look up to in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's I don't know. He's one of those guys. If it's your Mount Rushmore of hunting personalities, there's no question, in my opinion, Jim Shockey's on it.
Oh yeah. Oh man, that's a fun. We're gonna do that next
right?
show. Right. I think we're running out of time right now, but I think next show we should do the
Mount Rushmore.
Who would make the Mount Rushmore of hunting? Who would make the Mount Rushmore of hunting? And you know what, people? To go along with this show, send in your list of the four people, you know, put it in this show, the Facebook comment section when I post the first one up. If you listen to this show and you want to play along, put in who will be you on your Mount Rushmore of hunting. Who would be the four people whose faces you would want to see up there carved in stone?
That's it. Well, Anyway, it was fun, Will, last hanging out with you the couple days this week and catching up and kind of lining out some stuff for moving forward. But
yes,
that's out there, sorry, Will, I don't mean to cut you out. Just check it out. You know, give us a positive review on iTunes if you feel we're doing a good job. If you feel we're doing a crappy job, send us your comments. You know, we'd like to hear it. Not that we're going to change anything, but if it's worth changing, we would consider it. Right? It's something that I don't think either one of us thinks that we're providing the perfect platform or storyline or interviews yet, but we're trying, we're grinding. We've got a lot of fans. We hear it. So Will's taking pictures with people.
Phil's videoing me from afar.
I'm videoing Will with Cam. So, hey, you know, send us your feedback. Send us your comments. If you like it, like I said, click onto iTunes. Leave a review on our page there.
Subscribe
to it. So all those things help us go up in the ratings, and we're not ashamed to ask to try to get higher in the ratings. So that being said, it's fun, man. I've had a fun, you know, 2015. I'm excited about 2016. And anyway.
Also, if you see us posted up on Facebook, if you guys could share it so other people get to see it and listen to it, that'd be great as well. Very much appreciated. Also, nobody enjoys carrying their binoculars around in their hands all day long. Why would you? Or maybe you have a binocular harness that is subpar and you need to step your game up a little bit. Well, Alaskan Guide Creations has you covered. They have the end-all, be-all, catch-all of binocular harnesses. You should check them out. Phil uses them. I use them. They're made in the USA. They're a great product. They're the original innovator. Great guys over there. So head on over to AlaskanGuideCreations.com and check them out. Also, I had something else I wanted to say. Oh, yes. Check out Brian Call. He was there podcasting, I don't even know how many hours in a row, 2 days over, the Gritty Bowman podcast. Keep an eye out for his content. He'll be launching that soon. And I wanted to send out my personal thank you to his brother, Brent Call, who I felt like was the backbone, the engine of the Mountain Ops booth. There was a lot of guys who were getting a lot of FaceTime in a lot of cool different ways, but Brent was there behind the scenes running a ton of stuff. And, you know, he honestly, if you ask me what was the most impressive thing I saw this weekend at the ATA show, it was how hard he worked. That is what impressed me more than anything. You know, when you're surrounded by guys who are just sharks working hard, you know, but that was super impressive.
That's it. One more thing, anybody that's in the Denver area this next week or this week, probably when this is going to go up, the Denver International Sportsman's Expo is here in town, and I will be – I have two seminars if anybody's interested – Thursday at 3:30 in the afternoon and Saturday at 6:30. So come on by. We'll have a booth there.
What are the dates on that? Just so we can, because people may not know what week or whatever.
Okay, so sorry. The ISE show in Denver is January 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. And I have a seminar the 14th at 3:30 in the afternoon and the 16th at 6:30 in the afternoon. Also, we're going to be loaded up with Mountain Ops products. Anybody wants to get your Mountain Ops in your hand right away, we'll have a lot of product there.
It's the blue raspberry.
I don't know about the blue yet. I don't know if they're shipping the blue yet. We're going to be getting the blue drink pretty soon, though. It was awesome. I had some this last week. So, so Mountain Ops will be represented at the Denver ISC show, and actually Grizzly Coolers will be in our booth. We'll be selling that stuff in addition to that. So come check it out, man. Come say hi. Check out the seminar. It's going to be on hardcore bow hunting is what they titled it. That wasn't my title, but that's what they titled it. So,
and some bow hunting should be the title.
Nonetheless, we're going to be talking about some pretty cool topics. I'm going to give people a little bit of insight as to what's in the works with the online content that we're going to be bringing out here soon. So that's all I got. Will, have a good rest of the weekend, man. We'll be catching up with you soon, and looking forward to the next one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.